Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. The Sunday morning team is here. Let me just welcome down the list here, Kimberly Batchelor Davis, our lifestyle editor, Henrietta Ivey, our political analyst, and Minister Randall Smith, gospel artist and pastor. And we will be picking more of the Sunday morning team up shortly. I was right in the middle of the news when we lost our... connection, and apparently we're still having some connectivity issues this morning. I was right in the middle of our latest news. Former President Donald Trump, who spent over $50 million in campaign funds on legal fees and who lost a $83 million settlement to E. Jean Carroll in a rape libel case, and last week lost a $355 million verdict in the New York corruption trial, is just announced a new gym shoe line. The gold high-top sneaker line retails up to $400. Trump was met with cheers and boos at a retail trade show, SneakerCon, at the Philadelphia Convention Center. Jennifer Lopez released an hour-long video movie of her recent album. Let's thank Michael Jackson for these new music video movies. It started with Bad and Thriller and those iconic dance routines, especially the scary costumes and Thriller. Others who have released video movies include Beyonce and Travis Scott. Taylor Swift actually releases her concerts as movies. One week after winning the Super Bowl, the euphoria and the excitement in Kansas City is now a distant memory. As you recall, 22 people were shot, and a popular local DJ was killed at the end of the victory parade in Kansas City. History will remember this period in America as the most violent and complacent time in history, as the country has done nothing to stop the constant slaughter of its citizens year after year. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, also known as Big Gretch, proclaimed February 16th as National Caregivers Day in Michigan. And we have our own connection to caregiving right here on the Sunday Morning Team, Henrietta Ivey. Good morning, Henrietta. What is your response or comments after Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced National Caregivers Day here in Michigan on February 16th?
Michael, I was totally excited. I was in tears. I literally stood up and just shouted and screamed. Mm-hmm. I called up all my people that we have been working so hard and let them know what was going on. We are totally excited. We thank her from the bottom of our hearts. This is a long time coming to get this recognition that we've been, you know, that we're worthy of. So I'm super excited about it. I can't wait to speak to the governor and to thank her personally in regards to, you know, making this proclamation for caregivers. As you know, there's 3.4 million caregivers across the state of Michigan that work in all sectors of caregiving. And so we are super excited about that. And I can't wait to have a conversation with her and thank her for recognizing the work that we do.
Yes. And isn't it just confirmation that what you're doing is really needed? I mean, the governor just announced this, it's like validation. Mm-hmm. All of your work, all that you've been doing is so needed.
It's important work. It's a workforce that has been underdogs for so long and deemed, as babysitters and, you know, it just has such a negative connotation to it when you think about home care workers and caregivers and men and women who do this work selfishly, taking out time in their day and sometimes even quitting their own careers to take care of another person. That's very honorable. It's honorable, dignified work, and I'm glad that it's just amazing to now see that she sees it as an important part of the workforce. And we are super excited about it. We're, you know, some of us caregivers are getting together to celebrate it. And we definitely want to make a homage over to Lansing to talk and speak with our governor personally and, you know, keep this momentum going and start to recognize this workforce and, you know, get some other things in place. But this is a very huge first step, I'll say that. And we are excited. And again, yes, it's very important work. It always has been important work. So now we got the recognition and we're happy about that. Very, very happy about it.
Yes. And, Governor Whitmer herself was taking care of her newborn daughter and her mother at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows firsthand what it takes, you know, the work and sacrifice that goes into family caregiving. And it's not only just an announcement. She has proposed a $5,000 tax credit to help with the costs of the caregivers. So she's on the right track. And, I just know that everybody that is involved with caring and family caregiving, this is such an important step forward.
It's a big, huge step forward.
Yes. So that's some great news. It's good to hear some great news every now and then. All the things that are going on, this is great news. And more great news. Yeah. Let's hear from what's going on with the weather with our lifestyle editor, Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, guys. It is cold outside. I don't know if you stepped outside.
It sure is. It was cold last night.
It was cold last night. So it's currently 23 degrees, but it feels like it's 9 degrees. So if you're going out, make sure that you bundle and layer up. Today's high is expected to be at 38 degrees with a low of 23. Partly cloudy will continue as I look out my window. It's partly cloudy now. I haven't seen the sun. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies will return with a high of 40 degrees and a low of 28. On Tuesday, partly cloudy skies will return with a high of 47 and a low of 33. Wednesday, guys, mostly cloudy skies with a high of 50 degrees and a low of 38.
All right.
All right now, on Thursday, rain showers will come in. We'll have a high of 49 degrees with a low of 29. On Friday, partly cloudy skies will return with a high of 38 degrees and a low of 24. And next Saturday, snow showers are expected with a high of 39 degrees and a low of 26. And that's the weather.
Great. Thank you so much. Good news. I'm hoping I'm right. And I believe that, we might get a couple more, some more cold days. We might get a little snow, but I think basically the brunt of winter, I believe, is gone. I know it's February 18th, but I just feel it. I just feel like the worst is past us now. And I am so looking forward to, just imagine 1 month from right now is spring.
Right.
1 month
mm-hmm.
from right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just, I know we had a kind of a interrupted start, but I just wanted to go back down the list. The team is all here this morning. I think we're just missing one person. Henrietta Ivey, our political analyst and home care advocate, is here. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, our lifestyle editor, author, speaker, podcaster. Randall Smith, gospel artist and minister, and Nurse Nikki, registered nurse, holistic and health wellness coach, consultant, enthusiast, and influencer. Because I tell you, we got to add that. You know, we got a couple influencers
mm-hmm.
here on the Sunday morning team. I'm going to put Henrietta Ivey and Nurse Nikki
mm-hmm.
in that because they post more stuff. And I don't know. You guys must be getting income from that or very close to it by now but for what you post. So. All I know is that your names are out there right now.
You
got two influencers here on the show. All right. Let me give you a little update with Commissioner McCormick, West Side of Detroit and Rexford, Wayne County Commissioner, District 6. On Monday, March 25th, at the Rexford Community Center, we are hosting the Wayne County Indigent Defense Services representative. They're going to be there to speak about, court, defending yourself in court, those who are not able to, can't afford it. We're also going to have the director of the Rexford Public Services there, and we're also going to have a speaker on affordable, healthy homes, the president of Zeta Phi Beta. Matter of fact, I was at their awards program last night in Southfield, Zeta Phi Beta. We gave the commissioner and I gave some community recognition and plaques to Reverend Solomon Kinlock and others at the event. Scholarships were given away. Very, very heartwarming performances by an urban violinist and much more. Great time in Southfield last night. March is Reading History Month. Commissioner McCormick will be reading to children in Detroit and Rexford starting in March. We're taking a group of 17 teenagers. It's part of the Wayne County Commission Youth Council to Lansing, a busload of teenagers to Lansing on March 13th to learn about Michigan government, how to write a law, to meet and greet some of the legislators. This will be my third time going to Lansing, or second or third time going to Lansing with the Wayne County Commission Youth Council. So we're taking a busload of the teens on March 13th to Lansing. The war on trash. Commissioner McCormick was on CBS News yesterday talking about cutting pollution in Wayne County, and especially since she authored the most recent legislation on a resolution asking or demanding that the big trucks do not sit idling for so long. Apparently, when those big diesel trucks sit idling on the road running, just like the buses, where, you know, and other big vehicles, when they idle, the amount of pollution is that it's spit into the air is just unbelievable. And she said there is a major difference as you drive back into the metropolitan Detroit area. You can tell the difference. People with asthma, breathing conditions, they can tell the difference as they enter major metropolitan centers like Chicago and Detroit because of the pollution from vehicles. So we have to be careful not to sit idling in your car or truck for too long. I think it's a good suggestion to limit the time that your vehicle is idling. May 8th, annual Mother's Day Ice Cream Social. June 3rd, the annual Father's Day Health and Resource Fair. So we're working on that. Also coming, a new park, new dog park for Kelly Park in Northwest Detroit, and more improvements in parks in District 6 are coming this year. I know the mayor has made reviving our parks a major part of his initiatives for the past few years. I remember going to Henrietta, the grand opening for the O'Hare Park, O'Hare Park redone, and it looks great. And people use the parks, their neighborhood parks. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how many parks are in our neighborhoods. They're there, but they've been neglected for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
But they're there. Yeah. I've driven down places and, you know, turned, following my GPS, looking for something. And wow, look at this park. I never knew this park was here. It, you know, you just don't know until you turn off some of these major streets. You know, you just turn off a Telegraph, turn off of 8 Mile, turn off of any of these major streets, and all of a sudden, bam, there's a park. And it's like a gym right in the middle of the neighborhood. And they have not been kept up over these years, but now they're bringing them back to life. And so we're glad about that. And then a dog park now. You know, when do we ever have a dog park in Detroit, you know?
Right.
It just adds to quality of life, I believe.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it doesn't take too much, the cost to redo the park. It doesn't cost a lot. Look. Fixing the Hart Plaza fountain, what was $15 million? Okay. All right. This portion of the program is brought to you by Cosine Productions and artist and playwright Dykema Matthews. Music by Jamel Butler. Thank you, Dykema, for your support of the podcast. Also, Trillion Realty and Principal Broker Shante Mosby. If you're buying or selling and want to discuss decisions about property, call 313-566-3545. All right. Selfishly Healthy Nurse Nikki, you have years of experience. You've worked in Detroit hospitals, clinics. You work with holistic health and wellness. You are a consultant and coach and enthusiast and an influencer. Good morning. And what's on the topic for Selfishly Healthy today?
Good day, good day, good day. Well, we've heard the weather, right? And so we know it's still going to be some kind of cold. And that's a good time.
For now.
That's a good time. Yeah, for now, not long. I always say that. Winter is just as short as summer, so, you know, here it comes. But it's a good time for chocolate, right? Hot chocolate. We still need to stay warm. Mm-hmm. We still need to do those different things. So chocolate is my topic today, and a lot of us have a relationship with chocolate. And I've had a relationship with chocolate for a very long time. And, you know, it could be I've posted about it, talked about it for people that know me. They know me well about this chocolate thing. But, you know, it's looked upon as being unhealthy, a sugary snack, et cetera. But there are really some really good benefits to chocolate, and especially dark chocolate. And people don't know this. You know, they have what's called catechins, epicatechins, which is a flavanol, which is found in plants. And it's very beneficial to people. It's a very, especially dark chocolate is a very powerful antioxidant. And we know what antioxidants do for the most part. They go in and they clean up free radicals in the bloodstream and help protect the cells. But here's some things about chocolate that a lot of us may not know is increases your heart health. It can help lower the blood pressure, help reduce the risk of clots and increase your blood circulation. I know I've actually lost weight taking dark chocolate. It was surprising. I said, I actually lost weight eating this dark chocolate. That's usually when it's 70% or more dark chocolate. It helps balance the immune system because flavanols help prevent the immune system from going into overdrive. It helps reduce oxidative stress, which again helps imbalance, which is an imbalance caused by cells fighting against free radicals and a common cause of many diseases. It also helps preserve brain function, positive impact on the brain function, and boost your athletic performance for those that are, you know, in athletics. And what it does, it helps produce the nitric oxide in the bloodstream. We talked about that on one of the other shows about nitric oxide. We talked about you can breathe and eat fruit to increase your nitric oxide in your bloodstream. So here is another way. It helps reduce stress. So a lot of times if I've been stressed out, a lot of people will go to chocolate because it really helps you feel more balanced and reduce stress. A long time ago, I learned that eating chocolate was better than having sex or love, the way it impacts the brain. So a lot of people that are stressed out, don't have really a lot of love in their life, they will turn to chocolate, and it helps reduce that stress. Helps reduce the cortisol levels in your bloodstream as well. So it's a lot of different things. You want to look at chocolate that's 70% or more cacao. And just look at the sugar content because I'm not saying eat a bunch of sugar along with it. We do have to be mindful. But when you're looking at the chocolate, you don't have to feel guilty about having some chocolate. You can have a square of chocolate every day if you want. Be mindful of the, like I said, sugar content and of the caffeine content. I am particularly sensitive to caffeine, so I definitely can't eat a lot of chocolate because my heart will start beating too fast and I'll have heart palpitations. But other than that, you know, you don't have to feel guilty with eating your chocolate. You can feel good about it and then knowing that there are some health benefits to it, especially losing weight and that heart health. So that's what I wanted to share this morning about being selfishly healthy. Don't feel bad about eating your chocolate.
Well, thank you for validating our love of chocolate this morning and letting us know that
I enjoy
okay.
it.
I do.
I love Häagen-Dazs chocolate ice cream. That
mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, that is good.
My yes,
one of the
Häagen-Dazs
best
chocolate. I can eat a whole pint or whatever of that in one sitting, and I hate to have to share it too, you know, with family, you know. And for the chocolate candy bars, I like Cadbury's chocolate with almonds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, almonds. Love that. So
you don't like to share, huh?
Absolutely. And I noticed, I'm not the only one that has a weakness for chocolate, so I'm just listening to the whole team, and it seems like it's unanimous that, you know, chocolate
very
is
much
one
so
of the things. It is.
Yes,
don't y'all let him put y'all out there.
So thank you, Nurse Nikki, for that. That makes me feel better today. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay, wow. Let's go down. I want to hear. Welcome back, Henrietta. We missed you, and I know you're busy, but we appreciate when you get a chance to call back in, and we appreciate it. What's on your mind today?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I miss you guys, too. It is, you know, it's just, you know, working and creating and preparing. We know that next week is the first primary, the early primary for the presidential election. So I've been involved in a lot of, you know, those talks and trying to figure out how we can get the community on board and utilizing their vote, because this is a very crucial voting year. Every year, let me be clear, every voting year is crucial. But it's something about moving forward from these last elections we've had is getting more crucial each election in lieu of the Trump trials and the Biden trials and all the things we're seeing in the media about Biden's health, about Trump's antics. It just gives you that vision of who do we vote for? How do we get this country back on its feet? How do we get things moving in a positive direction? And I always tell people, you got to use your vote. You got to study politics. You got to study who's running. You got to know who's trying to be your leader. So when you're out there voting, you're not voting blindly. You're not just putting your ballot into a machine and not knowing who you voted for, why you voted for, or any other of the information like the millages and all the proposals that be on those ballots. You must understand that ballot is a very key piece of information in getting your community back on its feet, because the way you vote and for who you vote for will determine how your community turn out. And I often tell people, if you're not voting, you're not going to get anything. Your vote determines what goes into your community. So if only 10 people in your community is voting and the other 6,000 ain't voting, you cannot complain. The only ones that need to be complaining is those 10 people who voted. They need to be jumping down those 6,000 people's throats for not, you know, utilizing their power. So it's just been a lot of conversation around that. I've been having heavy, heavy, heavy conversations around the importance of voting, setting up voting training, actually classes, where people can actually come and talk and find out why is this important, how does that ballot work, what's on the ballot, what does it mean, who are the candidates, what did they do, where did they come from, should I be voting for someone who I don't know, should I be voting for someone that I do know. All these important questions are conversations that I'm having, my team and I are having in this election, because right now Trump is still trying to get back in office, and we just have to do everything to karate chop that right on back in the other direction. on top of working and trying to, I'm doing a revamp with IPS LLC, which is my business. So we're trying to, we're bringing it up to be a bigger and better. So been doing a lot of work on that. And on top of all of that working and politicking and, you know, trying to get things moving, I have been getting a lot of sleep, trying to anyway. So that's what's been happening with me, just, you know, moving in the political force and excited about all the things that our governor is doing, especially like we talked about earlier in our home care sector. We are super excited about that. And so trying to get, you know, preparing for 2024, Home Care Appreciation Day, which is even going to be so, I knew it was going to be huge this year, but I think I know now why I had that feeling way ahead of time. It's because of this moment that we just received on February the 16th. And so we are very super excited about that and just looking forward to it. And then being back on the air with you guys, it's one of my most therapeutic things of sitting on air and talking and having a conversation and having a great time with you guys. It helps me, because I have to work tonight, so I have to go back in at 3:30. So I definitely wanted to make it my appearance, and you'll probably see a lot more of me in the upcoming Sundays. But right now my focus is trying to get, you know, this conversation around the vote and making sure everybody understands how very important it is that we get out here and find out who's in these races, where do our vote go, and make sure that these people are going to be on our behalf, and that's important. So just, you know, doing those things, just, you know, doing the things that here we had to do.
You know, yeah, and I do like also that to have a voice, and doing a podcast gives you a voice. And I know there's a lot of podcasts out here, but, you know, there's a lot of voices out here, and at least Right now in America, we can have a voice. And that's why I think it's so important that this freedom that we have, and like you said, Henrietta, we got to be careful about who we elect, because everybody doesn't like this freedom. Everybody doesn't want to hear our voices. Everybody doesn't want everybody doesn't want us to vote. Okay, I voted already. You know, the primary is on the 27th. I did mine by mail already.
I'm glad you said that. I was just going to say that date, but thank you for mentioning that.
And it's only one question on the ballot. Who do you want for president? That's it.
See, that's crazy.
All this stuff, and it's only one question on the ballot.
You know what, Michael? When I saw that, I thought that was a joke. I'm like, this can't be a real ballot. And then, like what you just said, somebody said, well, I got my ballot. They only asked me one question. I'm like, wait a minute. Now, this can't be. This is why I started amping up the conversation. Like, who built this is not an early, I don't remember ballots looking like that. That's why when I got one, I'm like, is this real?
But God has the final say anyway. God has the final say. So.
Yep. He does. But that's why it's really crucial that we are aware of what's going on, not only in our city and neighborhoods, but around the world. And now that I get to go out to all these community meetings, those people that show up at the community meetings, I'm telling you, they have so much of an impact in your community. You can have 100 people on a block or two blocks area, and two people go to the meetings. Those two people have more power than the other 98 because they know what's going on. They're aware, and those elected officials are right there in their face, and they can take action on things that those two people want, and the other 98, guess what? They just have to fall in line and go along with what the two people. But guess what? Those 98 people gave the power to those two people. If they didn't want to do that, then they should go to the meeting.
And that's
how the voting is. Two people can make a decision based on you and your life and your house and your community because they went they voted. It's so important. I tell you, it is so important. All right. Thank you, Henrietta. Kimberly Batchelor Davis.
Folks, good morning, guys.
Bring it.
Good morning.
I do have a health story, but I want to give a statistic because we all here have this connection to politics, and you're absolutely right. When I heard about Kansas City, the shooting, there was a statistic that was given, and I thought, wow, 45 shootings. 45 shootings. And we are only in, I think at that point we were at day 44, might have been 45. But we've had 40-plus shootings in this. NRA is able to do things with lobbying and asking for support that the rest of us don't do. And so exactly what you just said, Michael, if you don't show up, you don't get the response and you don't have the power. If we want to take our country back and be safe in our own communities, in our homes, at parades, at schools, at hospitals, at movie theaters, at restaurants, you name it, in parks, we have to stand up and do something. That was my TED Talk for today.
Notice that every time now there's a shooting, it's somewhere different that we are comfortable being at?
Exactly.
Yes. whether mm-hmm. it's a parade, whether it's a movie theater, a church. Mm-hmm. Look at Joel Osteen's mm-hmm. church in
yes.
Mm-hmm.
A woman walked mm-hmm. in with a child. Not only was the woman shot and killed, but the child was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was because she brought the child
fire.
In, but still, right.
Yes. And it just happened to be, I think it was two law enforcement officers that were attending services at the time that happened to
mm-hmm.
be right there and had weapons on them. And it's unfortunate
yes.
now you have,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you walk into these churches, I remember going in years ago when I was going out with Missionary Humphrey with the politicians, and I would walk into a church and they would have the earpieces in, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I was like, do they really need to do all that? Do they? And I know they had guns under their jackets, and I'm like, that's too much. But look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This was like
mm-hmm.
25 years ago. Look what happened in those
mm-hmm.
25 years. Now, when
mm-hmm.
I go into a church, I hope they have security. I hope they have
yes.
They're in
mm-hmm.
the earpieces in, and they have a gun. On their waist. I hope now, because
mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only way now
right.
that you can
mm-hmm.
put a stop to this stuff. I'm not saying everybody needs to be armed. I'm just saying that the security officers need to be armed when we in whatever, whether it's a movie theater, a church, a parade,
mm-hmm.
a restaurant. A grocery store.
They're doing it in the funeral homes now.
Yeah.
Oh,
they are.
You know, I had a conversation with somebody this week about that. That, you know, we had a situations occur here in Detroit on a regular basis
mm-hmm.
between people that are supposed to be mourning. So you have different factions
mm-hmm.
of mourners shooting at each other now. And arguing,
uh-huh.
and people yelling, making comments now. It's like, what happened to the discourse in this country? People are so angry. People are
the hearts of man
of
wax cold.
Mm-hmm.
Hearts of man of wax cold.
Yes, it happens
mm-hmm.
in hospitals. So all these shootings,
oh, yeah.
because I have friends that work in hospitals, especially in emergency, they're like, emergency is one of the most dangerous places to work. So
yes,
think about
mm-hmm.
it. Kansas City brought all those people in, and the head doctors, the lead doctors, came on television, and they were talking about it. They said, we were well prepared. And I'm mm-hmm. grateful that they were well prepared, because there were so many children, not that it was worse that it was children and not other people. But the fact that whatever spurred this on could have been members of whatever, families, gangs, whatever, because I think
mm-hmm.
it's gang-related is what I thought it was.
It is.
Okay, it is. And so if you bring that into the hospital, typically then the family members or whoever the supporters are of those people, they come into emergency. And I've had people recount to me personal accounts of people who have literally pulled a gun out and started shooting in emergency. I said, are you serious? In a hospital.
Yep.
In a hospital. Just ridiculous.
Well,
just
it's coming down to churches being secure. Now, yeah, I'm just going to tell y'all straight up. Y'all come to my house. Y'all can register. Sure, it's going to be set. Everything's going to be set. And I ain't saying nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so,
from the front door to the back. And if you look at me, just pray for me. Because,
So, Minister Smith, when me and my entourage come and sit in the front row at your church, I'll be protected?
You heard what I said, and I'm not going to go into detail, but now, Nurse Nikki, you pray for your brother, because now y'all don't judge me. Let me tell you something. My mother's cousin, she had passed, and so my brother, I didn't pay attention, but that slick Negro jumped over. He got out the way. And so he said, Pastor, why don't you do the committal? I'm like, okay. Now, you know, Michael Brandt, who your cousin's acting the fool up there at the Plymouth Cemetery up there.
I don't have any family members around.
Anyway,
there.
You can cut that out. That, whatever. They look like you. Look, Sis Kim, they look like him and act like him. But anyway, So we get out of the funeral home, Swanson funeral home, the hood went on speaking out. And the brother said, Pastor, I don't want you to get scared. I said, get scared of what? He said, just come on, get in the car. So I'm getting in the family car in the front seat. This dude said, now look, don't bump me too hard because something might go off. I said, what might go off? I'm like, this dude. Now, mind you, he said they had just had a shootout in that funeral home.
Wow.
But he said, everybody came out with their Roscoe's cocks. I bet I'd have fainted. You know, I'd have went on to heaven early. But anyway,
there's a lot of tension. You know, and in these
it's
funerals.
It's bad, man.
Yeah,
every funeral home. It's bad, man. And I just wonder,
how many times do they want to kill somebody? They already dead.
Right.
They don't even want the families to honor that their loved one.
No, sir. No, sir.
They don't even want that. You know.
Nope.
And I've seen where funeral home directors even at odds with each other and shooting each other.
Yes.
There are cases, one here locally and I think one on the East Coast, where they were shooting at each other, rival funeral homes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
It's unbelievable. It's hard to even imagine something. Yeah, I remember it happened here. The funeral director went outside. There was a memorial service going on at the time, and he walked out and shot and killed somebody out there in the driveway of the funeral home. It's just crazy.
It's madness.
Crazy. All right.
Any more
from you, Henry? I mean,
no.
Kimberly?
No.
All
that
right.
That was it. Thank you.
Thank you, because it spurred conversation, that's for sure.
You got us on
that one. Appreciate that. Minister Smith, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, I'm just honored to be here. There's some things that are taking place. The Lord with us coming Wednesday, we hired a grant writer, and her name is Ms. Hicks. I told her to join in. But however, some major things are taking place, and you all will hear about it soon. Plus, yours truly will be going back in the ministry real soon. And I'm excited about it. I'm getting ready to get married, so I want my sister, my family to come and be a part.
Absolutely.
Now don't get mad because I might have a to-go plate. Kim, I might have a to-go plate. Ain't going to be no
sense.
Me and my real love, we got to go.
Get ready.
That's right.
I hear somebody. Well, anyway. So, you know.
Just let us know when a date is, brother.
Now, Mike, I got to put you out there on Front Street. I need to be.
Uh-oh.
I want to start being around the radio station more because there's something major that I've got to talk to you about that just transpired yesterday. And it's the Lord just keeps telling me about this needs to be a radio station. Okay, get quiet right there. But I'm done.
Uh-oh.
Is he still breathing? Did he faint?
Michael, you okay?
Yep,
He might have got disconnected.
I think Sister Van Tooten whipped on him a little bit. I'm not sure.
Now, you ain't going to put my sister Britt down like that. Where the love?
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine, brother. I'm just teasing you.
I got a request. Someone needs a caregiver, and so I need you to get in touch with me so I can give you her information.
Okay. I'll definitely reach out to you.
And I'm going to need one soon because I got a couple of procedures coming up, so I'm going to need some help. So, but I'll be in my house by then, though.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Henry,
where did Mike Van Tooten? Yes.
What is So, because we don't talk about this in this country, I know in Japan that seniors outnumber younger people. Are we headed that way in America?
Hello.
I absolutely believe that we are. I do.
We almost have
there. If you look at it statistically, right now, the number of deaths, in especially in the city of Detroit and around the state of Michigan, are more of your younger generation. They're dying off very fast. The people that are living longer are your senior population. So I feel like if we don't get a handle on, again, proper leadership, the crime in our city, educating our children, finding and utilizing things for our children to do, getting them back into the, sports and arts and community engagement and even involving them into politics to have a voice, we are not going to have a generation of people that can carry the torch after we're gone, not as particularly in the African-American community across this country. It is crazy how we are losing our young people and we don't have a strong future. And when you look at it, so I agree with him. I think that number is definitely on the rise, and not only in China but also here in the United States. And that's something that we need to talk about more. Is what is the future holds for this country? Well, by us losing so many young people and tragic deaths in war, and I'm glad you highlighted that because I thought about that. I'm like, wow, we lose a lot of young people. What does that say about the future of this country, of this world? Well, we do like the movie. Do you remember the movie?
Guys, we're off the air. Michael texted and said we're off the air. We can continue this conversation, but I just want to let y'all know we're off the air.
It was a movie where this young lady was carrying she was pregnant, and the youngest person
that was the Children of Men. Children of Men.
The
That's
Children
a great
of Men.
Movie.
That
she was the only woman that could get pregnant, and she got pregnant naturally, and they couldn't figure out why. And she was a black girl. And she was a nobody. Not saying that that was the thing, but she was poor. It wasn't anything that was planned. And it reminded me of Mary and Joseph because she just was this woman who became pregnant and really didn't even know what it was because women hadn't had children in, what was it, almost 100 years or something like that?
Yep. And the youngest one was 18 and he had got murdered. So, the youngest person was 18 and somebody had killed him. They was mourning his death, but they did everything. He protected her all the way, got her to where she would be totally protected.
Yep.
And so that is like a biblical kind of thing concept because look at what we're doing now. Women are not, younger women are not having children like that anymore. Again, they're focused on their careers. They're focusing on their own lives. And the women who have children, what I've been seeing in the last week or two is mothers killing their babies. It's definitely something to look at. I don't know. I feel like we're going to be, we're not going to have much of a younger generation if we keep going it this way. We won't.
Well, one couple left a baby. One baby left a baby. One couple left a baby at, I think, the fire station. Pretty little chocolate baby. And the couple adopted it. So me and my wife-to-be, I said, babe, I said, hey, let's adopt a couple of babies. Of course, and I told her, I said, well, however you feel. But when I tell you that I said, let's do what we need to do. So now at the end of the day, I'm very excited because this one was what I needed. And so at any rate, now what we're going to do Wednesday, the Lord will, I was supposed to meet tomorrow with him, but Wednesday, we'll be meeting. Then let me throw this out there, Kim. You and Henrietta, I'm getting connected with NACA and their hood.
National Association of, what is that?
Well, I guess, hold on.